about to give to you. And I'm going to read a passage that references Proverbs 31. This is a very common passage whenever we talk about moms. But I just want to read three verses out of there. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. Everybody was relieved on that. Proverbs 31 and 10 says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." I want to jump down to verse 28. "Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her." And dropping to verse 30. "Favor or charm is deceitful." It's deceptive. "And beauty is vain. It does not last. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." And I want to talk to you just a little bit about this subject before mother's love. I wonder if you'd help me pray that God will have his way. Can we do that today? God, we need you. Lord, we have enjoyed the service so far, and we've got much more to enjoy from here. But Lord, I really do know and believe with all my heart that you have a message for us. I ask you to open our ears, our understanding, our hearts and minds to receive it, Lord. I pray that you will speak to our hearts through these humble lips of clay. Hide me behind the cross. All the glory, all the honor, all the praise belongs to you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. You know, I want to share a few things that I find humorous, if that's okay. I like humor, and there's a time to laugh and a time to cry. There's a time to be sad, but there's a time to be happy. And so we're going to have a little bit of both here. But I want to share some things that I just find funny about moms. Is that okay? You know, one person said, "Any mother could perform the jobs of several air traffic controllers with ease." Somebody else said, "When my kids become wild and unruly, I use a nice, safe playpen. When they're finished, I climb out." Somebody said, "If you're not yelling at your kids, you're not spending enough time with them." Oh, Lord, flashbacks. "A mother needs only to step into the shower for a moment to be instantly reassured that she is indispensable to every member of her family." Waking your kids up for school the first day after a break is almost as fun as birthing them was. Sending them back to school. You know, one person said, "Mama does everything for a baby." And then the baby responds by saying, "Dada first." Doesn't make sense, does it? When your mom asks you, "Can I tell you something?" It's merely a formality. It doesn't matter if you answer yes or no. You're going to get it anyway. That's the truth. Oh, my. Now, I don't understand all these, okay? But I sure do find them funny because I've observed them, like this one. "Becoming a mom means that you have accepted that for the next 16 years of your life, you will have a sticky purse." Oh, how I have seen that over and over. Somebody else said, "Why don't kids understand that their nap is not for them, but it's for us?" One mom said. Somebody else said, "I want my children to have all the things that I couldn't afford. Then I want to move in with them." And then last of all, of the humor side, "A two-year-old is kind of like having a blender, but forgetting to put the top on it." You know, Brother Timothy and Sister Taya can probably relate to that long about now. Amen. You know, there's some more serious ones that I enjoy reading quotes, sayings, and try to collect them and try to remember them. And it seems like every year that becomes a little less convenient. But some of these I think are really interesting. It says, "Life doesn't come with a manual. It comes with a mother." If you think about that, that is so true. Your mama is going to help you through life. Somebody said, A mother understands what a child does not say. It's an old Jewish proverb. Someone else said, I struggle so deeply to understand how someone can pour their entire soul, blood, and energy into someone without wanting anything in return. I don't understand it, but I'll just have to wait until I'm a mother. And it's true. It's true. Being a mother means that your heart is no longer yours. It wanders wherever your children do. Isn't that the truth? You see a mama that, you know, kids can stray, but mama's heart's always with them. And I want to read quickly something if I could, and I didn't copy it here. It's in John. Did I send you John? Let's put that up there. I wanna read this. John 19 and 16, then delivered he him, talking about Jesus, Pilate delivered him, to the people to be crucified. And they took Jesus and they led him away. And this passage is talking about our Savior, and we all know that he died for every one of us. But and you say, well, why are you kind of shifting gears and talking about this on Mother's Day? And believe it or not, I think I'm almost done with the message. Everybody's in shock. But I just want to take a few moments because the Lord began to lay some things on my heart. It's not the first time, and I'm sure that perhaps you have realized this and recognized it. But I just felt like it's really important for us to remember again today that sometimes we wonder where a mother's love comes from. You know, how in the world could somebody give so much? And then I began, as I was praying, and that thought came to me, and it's just, you know, you just shake your head wondering. But it really, really becomes clear whenever we realize the one that created moms. The one that created moms is where mom's love comes from. In fact, could I say that there are some young people that aren't privileged to be exposed to church and growing up in church and so forth? Perhaps they live on the backside of a third world country in a little village, and there's nobody there that's, you know, a missionary yet that's teaching them. Can I say that there's some little kids that grow up that mama might be the only Jesus that they ever see? Can I say that it's important for us to remember that is really where true love comes from? It was referenced earlier in the week talking to someone. Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, I'm going to tell you how people are going to know that you're my disciple. Not how fancy your clothes are, not how big a car you drive, not the big nice house you're in, not the big CEO position you have, not whether your kids are all-stars on the ball team, but the way that people are going to know that you are followers of me, if you have love one for another. And we see a mama that has love for her kids that is unconditional. And when I look at that and I begin to think of where true love comes, it began to stir me. And this will be a little different today. I'll just be honest. Normally, if you've listened to me, some say you've listened to me countless hours on any given day. But, you know, if you hear me, usually I tend to really just go down the line with a lot of Bible verses. I love getting into the Word. I love backing up what I'm going to say based on what I see in the Word. I just really do that. But today's a little bit different. I'm not going to give you any further verses. But when they led Jesus away to be crucified, they carried him out, or they took him out there, and they stripped him, they scourged him before that, they put a crown of thorns on his head. Mocking him as a king with a crown that's thorns digging into his head. They took and they took a tree and they nailed his hands to the tree. They nailed his feet to the tree. They didn't do it in perhaps a modern day era that we would know, maybe in a humane way that would satisfy those who might feel that it's inhumane to do it that way. They were brutal. They took large spikes, large hammers, and the Roman soldiers at the request, not because he was sentenced due to a crime he committed, but at the request of the church folk, his people, the nation of Israel that he had endured so much of their stuff through the years. And it was at their request that the Roman soldiers took Jesus and they drove those nails through his hands and through his feet. And Jesus, them doing that to Jesus, we try to wrap our head around that. It's hard. That's love beyond anything we can imagine. But when he hung there and he looked at the soldiers, the Roman soldiers that were doing it, he looked at the church folk, the religious leaders that were mocking him, saying, "Oh, if you're really who you say you are, come down off the cross and then we'll believe you." They were mocking. It was miserable. And yet he hung there. And before he died, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." Oh, that stirs me, because it's one thing to endure what people do to you. It's another thing to love them even if they do it. I got a long ways to go. I don't know how you are, but I got a long ways to go. But I will say on this Mother's Day that some of the closest mirroring of the love of Jesus that I've ever seen has been through a mother. And through my own mother, I'm so thankful that my mom is here today. And in fact, I think I got so busy being glad everybody was here, I might have even just skipped right over my own mom. And if I did, I am so sorry. But I'm so glad that she's here, and Gil. They're extremely special people to me. And there's a lot of reasons, you know, why, but I want to say that, I've been told that, you know, let me just say that my mom, her love has been unconditional. There's no doubt. I could talk a long time about that, but for sake of time, I'm not. I'm about done. Means the world to me. But she's also had to do that and put up with, you know, my stubbornness, waywardness, rebellion, all those things, giving her a bad time. And the only thing I would say is that I've been told that I'm just like my mom. So, Gil, I'm so proud of you for putting up with my mom. No, I say that in jesting. I'm telling you, they are both precious people, and he takes care of her so wonderfully. And that just means the world to me, I'll just tell you. And he really takes care of her. So I just wanted to say that. But I have seen in my, yes. Well, amen. Well, I'm telling you, sometimes the proof's in the pudding and it's there. I love him. He's taught me a lot, and he's still teaching me. Unfortunately, I haven't arrived yet. Amen. Thank you for that. But you know, I have seen through my mom so many times. I've seen the love that she has shown, and no doubt many of you, some of you may not have had the same experience growing up, but perhaps there has been someone, if it wasn't your own mother for whatever reason, maybe due to loss or not irresponsibility, whatever the case is, if your own mother hasn't done that, there's been somebody in your life probably along the way that has been responsible for mirroring the love of Jesus to the point that you're here today. Can I say that a mother is, her love is the closest thing that I've seen to the love of Jesus? And I want to read a little story I think, but it means a lot to me. It's an extremely moving story to me, and I hope that you get something out of it. It's a story that when my children were very young, we would try to read what we called family devotions every night. And of course, the kids being very, very young and not understanding thou shalt this and thou shalt not that, I would, in addition, supplementing the Bible, I would use Bible stories, and these were character stories based on the Bible, I should say, not actual Bible stories, but based on the Bible, and they demonstrated certain character traits in the Bible. There's one in particular that I read to my kids, and it stirred me, and it's never left me, and here's how it goes. I'm just going to read it. It's the easiest way to do it. And it says, as a young mother laid her baby girl to sleep in the cradle, she said to herself, I'll just run down the street to the neighbor for a quick minute to visit. I haven't had time to talk to her in a long while. As she and the neighbor were chatting, they heard the siren of a fire engine. And the neighbor said, don't worry, it's probably just a grass fire. There's lots of them at this time of year. I'm sure that the fire isn't anywhere near here. But a moment later, the mother said, listen, I think I hear the engine coming this way. Oh, look. People are running down the street. Oh, no, they're running toward my house. Without another word, she dashed into the street and ran with the crowd. Then she saw it. Her own house was on fire. Smoke and flames were already pouring through the roof. My baby, she cried frantically. My baby! The crowd was thick around the house, but she pushed and shoved and finally reached the door. And a fireman stopped her and said, you can't go in there. You'll be burned. But the mother said, let me go, let me go, as she broke free and ran into the flaming house. She knew just where to go. Running through the smoke and the flames, she seized her precious baby and then turned to make her way out. But by now, the smoke made it very hard to see and breathe. Nearly overcome, she swayed back and forth and finally fell. And she wouldn't have made it out of the house safely if a fireman had not picked her up and carried her out. A cheer went up as they appeared. Baby Marjorie was not hurt at all, but the poor mother's hands were terribly burned. Kind friends took care of the baby while the ambulance took the mom to the hospital, and the doctors did the best that they could, but her hands were terribly scarred. It was years later, when baby Marjorie had grown much, that she suddenly noticed something she had not noticed before. Her mother's hands were actually so ugly. And just being a child, straightforward and true, she said, Mama, why are your hands so ugly? Tears filled her mother's eyes as she remembered that day, how frightened she was. When the house was burning, Marjorie was asleep and didn't know anything about the danger. Have I said something wrong? Marjorie asked when she saw the tears. No, my dear, replied her mother, but there's a story that I need to tell you. Oh, my. And so, painfully, she began to tell Marjorie about the story of the fire. She told how the people had tried to hold her back and how the firemen tried to stop her and how she battled the flames to rescue Marjorie and how she finally fell and how they were both rescued. And then she held out her hands, her scarred hands, for Marjorie to see. She said softly, they are ugly in a way, aren't they? She said, for me, the only thing that mattered that day was to save your life. Now it was Marjorie's turn to shed some tears. Oh, mother, she cried, you must love me so much. Those are the most beautiful hands in all the world. Can I say that that's a story of true love as I close? The love a mother had for her little girl long before she ever had the capacity to understand it and return the love. But I want to tell you, remember where a mother's love came from. Jesus. While we were yet sinners, he loves you so much that he was willing to let the soldiers scar his hands and feet with great big nails as we all stand. I wonder if you just close your eyes for a moment and we're close to dismissing. But before we do, I just think it's really, really important that we make sure that we obey God in whatever He wants us to do. You see, little baby Marjorie, she was so little, she didn't understand why in the world her mom's hands were ugly. But she was so little, she didn't understand and know what her mama did. But once she realized what mama did, it moved her so much that she realized my mama loved me more than I can ever imagine. Can I say that Jesus loves you even when you've done some bad things? I don't know your past. You don't know all my past. But I can promise you every single one of us in here has a story, has a past. Most of us don't want that story played on a video screen for all to see. We'd be mortified, most of us. But can I tell you that today, even though it doesn't mean that Jesus is okay with what we've done, He just loves us so very much that He wants to pull the burden that you're carrying and lift it off of you. The burden of all the bad stuff that you've done. I don't know. We spoke about it earlier. There's young moms that have aborted their babies, and that's got to be one of the most difficult things to bear. But can I tell you, and there's many other things I could say, but can I tell you that Jesus is here to forgive and to cleanse and to love a mama that's done even that? I don't know your story. I don't know who's who. I just feel to say that. Maybe there's a son here today. You've done things that are just unquestionably bad, and you're feeling trapped by all the stuff that you've done and who you really see yourself as. Can I say today, you could be dealing with pornography, substance abuse. Maybe you've been sexually abused growing up, and now you find yourself falling into the wrong kind of relationships. Can I tell you that Jesus is reaching out to you right now, this very moment, and His hands are scarred. He has given all of His love so that you don't have to go to a devil's lake of fire. He literally is willing to reach through the fire and pull you back out of the fire and put you in a place of eternal life. And today, right now, He's reaching for somebody. These altars are open. If that's you, I'd encourage you to step out. I'd encourage you to come up here and just begin to call on the Lord. We got a few minutes. The food will be okay. We got just a few minutes. We got time. This is important. Everybody that would you just come up the front if you're able to? Let's just all reach out, because He's reaching a nail-scarred hand down to us. Oh, let's talk to Him for a few moments. He loves us more than we can imagine. If you know a mother's love, imagine where she got it from today. Oh, would you reach for the one that's reaching for you right now? Would you seek Him with all of your heart? Let's take a moment and reach for Him.
That gives me strength from day to day. It's high. Glory reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. It's the blood that gives me strength. From day to day, it will never lose its power. It soothes
my soul. Think about it.
my doubts and calms all my fears.
His blood will calm your fears when you've been washed and cleansed from all the things you've done.
It dries all of
my tears. Take care of those tears.
It's the blood.
Sometimes you're smiling through all the tears, but inside you're really crying. Let him take care of it
today.
Let him take over today.
Gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power, for it reaches to the highest mountain and lowest valley. Gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose. Will never lose. It will never lose its power. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. It's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It's power, for it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. It's the blood that gives me strength from day. My doubts and calms all my fears, and that same blood, it dries all of my tears. It's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. That gives me strength.